If you didn't catch what Little Man was saying right there, in the preschool, they are in the Word of God every single day. That preschool staff does remarkable work, and that little guy right there is a testament to that. So thanks be to God for our preschool. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice today because your Son is in fact risen. He is alive. Our Savior lives. Victory over death. Lord, as we sit in this state of grace and joy, may you send us out into the world to share this good news, to share this joy and the hope with other people that may not yet know your Son. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What now? When you get on the other side of some big event or some big celebration, we often think, what now? What do we do now that we're past this huge moment in our lives? So let's take a wedding. For the 8 to 9 months that Robin and I were engaged, her mom put in hundreds of hours planning for that wedding, that special day. And so when all the I do's were done and we were on the other side of that celebration, her mom's what now was very simple. Stop. Stop and rest. Recuperate, sleep, watch TV, do whatever you want, except plan a wedding. But not every event is an all-stop, right? Take college graduation. You finally have that degree in hand that you've earned and you've paid for. Your what now is to go get a job. Go get a J-O-B and start contributing to society in some way, make a living, right? And the moment of life that is most near and dear to me is your first child. When a mother and a father have their first child, whoa, buddy, does it change everything of your life. So the what now of those first few weeks of life is clear and simple. Survive. You are focused on survival as this new party of three. All you are pouring all your energy into is surviving long enough to develop some kind of rhythm and some kind of balance of life in which you can live together. And it is one of the most difficult and most wonderfully amazing moments of life. What about after Easter? So last Sunday, we had this incredible Easter Sunday. The music was amazing. The message was great. The Word of God, everything, the whole Holy Week, meaningful, impactful as this church family. It's kind of like this mountaintop peak moment in the church year. Thanks be to God for that beautiful time together. But what now? Our story this morning from the book of Acts is one of my favorites. But this story needs some context. Because we just went from Easter Sunday, he is risen, the tomb is empty, to fast forward to, oh, there are already apostles doing work over here. So we need to add some context to this for this big leap that we took this morning. So at this point in the life of the apostles, Christ has been crucified. He died. He rose back to life. He appeared to his apostles in the flesh, standing in front of them. They walked with him, they talked with him, they ate with him, they touched his very skin, validating that he was truly alive. But then Jesus ascended. He rose up into the heavens, disappeared to sit at the right hand of God until his promised return. That's some seriously emotional stuff for this group of men. They went from the lowest of lows to the highest of highs. Put yourself in their shoes for just a minute. Imagine the feeling of just devastation and despair and hopelessness. The Savior, the God in the flesh that you've been following is dead. And then 3 days later, miraculous joy. Unprecedented relief. He is risen. Got to thinking, what kind of reference do we have to this in our daily life? And the only thing I could come up with would be like if a loved one was given the terminal diagnosis. And doctor said, you've got like a week to live. And then the week passes and the doctor says, you're cured. From certain death to certain life. But then Jesus leaves. He leaves them again. He rises up into the heavens. What a bittersweet moment. But Jesus didn't just ascend and go, "Hey, fellas, see you later. Good luck." No, he told them two very, very important things. First, he said that God's Holy Spirit would be with them. They had the guarantee of the very Spirit of God dwelling within them day after day, 24 hours a day, wherever they went, the Holy Spirit would be with them. And second, he gave them their mission. Jesus said, "Here is your what now." And he was very specific about what this what now was to be while they waited for his return. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Gulp. That's not an easy thing, right? That's why he started and said, "The Holy Spirit is with you." Because these apostles were to lean upon the Holy Spirit for everything they needed in this, the confidence, the courage, the desire to go out into the world and do something that they knew was going to be difficult. And not only just do it, but the Holy Spirit allowed them to do it boldly and joyfully. Go and make disciples. That was their what now. And that's exactly where our story picks up. So you have Peter and John and the apostles. They're in Jerusalem. They're in the temple. They're teaching about Jesus. And the high priest weren't having it. They were hoping that the crucifixion had put to death this whole Jesus Christ, the Messiah has come thing. But there the apostles were in the temple of all places, still talking about Jesus. So what'd they do? Throw him in prison. Put him behind walls and doors and chains. That'll do, right? That'll fix them and stop all this troublesome preaching, right? But here's the thing, and we see this all throughout the scriptures. Whenever someone works against the will of God and the spreading of the gospel, God tends to do something big. And so God sends an angel of the Lord into that prison and opens the doors. An angel of the Lord comes into a guarded prison, opens doors, unlocks locks, chains, all the works, then leads a group of men out of a guarded building. I wish the scriptures gave us details of what this looked like, but they don't. It had to have been amazing. It had to have been shocking. The apostles didn't say anything. I'm assuming they were in awe in that moment, watching what was playing out, something impossible for them to do. Now, practically speaking, I like to think they had a few seconds before that angel spoke, a few seconds to think, what now? Be generous and give them 5 to 10 seconds as these doors are opening and they're leaving that place and they're stepping out and feeling their new freedom. Did any of them think, what do we do now? But then the angel speaks very quickly, gives them the what now, says, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." Capital L, life. Go in the temple and share the gospel. Now, yes, these were the apostles, the ones anointed by Christ, the ones chosen by Jesus to do this incredible task. But they were still just ordinary, broken, mortal, sinful men. So did any of them hear this from that angel and think, really? You want us to go back into the very place that got us arrested the first time and is likely to get us arrested again and thrown back in prison? Or maybe even worse, get us killed? But then we go forward, verse 21. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. They went back to the temple and continued preaching the gospel. Go and make disciples. These apostles poured all their attention and their effort and their energy into the what now that Jesus had given them. And it was privileged work to them. It was joyful work to them. Why? Because the news they were sharing just might bring someone to faith in Jesus. The words they were sharing were no small thing for life-saving words. It's a beautiful example by these apostles of trusting the Lord and leaning on the Holy Spirit to do a task that otherwise seemed beyond them. Jesus said this was necessary work, but Jesus never said, "Fellas, it's easy." He never said this work will be peaceful. The what now that Jesus gave to these apostles meant that they were going to be hated. It meant that they were going to be outcast, ridiculed, disrespected, pushed aside, shamed, and eventually, for most of them, meant they were going to be martyred, an early grave, simply because they went about in the world talking about Jesus. Anytime I read these stories in the scriptures, my selfish Collin County mind goes, "Why do it? Apostles, you were already saved. Apostles, you already had God's love and forgiveness. Apostles, you already had the promise of eternal life. So why stick your neck out when you already had all the riches of the faith in hand?" One simple answer to that question: for the eternal well-being of the other person. For the eternal well-being of people that the apostles knew and people that were complete strangers to them. See, what the apostles did is they weighed this. They weighed their temporary earthly well-being and comforts and peace against the eternal well-being of the other person. And the eternal well-being of the other person won out. And no, these apostles weren't crazy. They weren't lunatics that were out of their minds, delusional at what they were doing. They simply understood the gravity of the matter. If you know Jesus, you have the promise of eternal life, eternal peace, eternal rest. If you don't know Jesus, you have the promise of eternal death and eternal suffering. It's as simple, direct, and black and white as that. For the disciples, the what now of Christ's death and resurrection, his ascension, his promise to come back, was to go into the world and tell other people about it. Come what may, whatever happens, in their mind, whatever happens, as long as the gospel is preached. So they went about it, one person at a time. If you look at Christ's ministry, he was very individual, one person at a time. He cared about the individual soul. And so the apostles went one person after another person, and then another person, and then so on and so on until Christ called them heavenward. In our lives today, it's highly unlikely. Let's just say it's not going to happen that we're going to have one of these angel prison door moments, right? But the what now remains the same. Tell someone about Jesus. Take the love of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus into the world and tell someone that needs to hear it. Now, when I was in high school, I had a moment of great stupidity where I managed to earn myself 1 week of ISS. Anybody know what that stands for? In school suspension, my people. Either you were working in education or you were there too. In school suspension. And on Tuesday morning of that week of suspension, I remember I'm sitting in that portable building on the edge of our campus with the other inmates, and there's a knock on the door. I hear a knock. And so everyone, like puppies, we all look at the door. And in that doorway, I see my German teacher, Frau Schultz. I guess Frau is Mrs. for German, right? Does that sound right? We called her Frau Schultz. And Frau Schultz was a no-nonsense lady. You'd mess around in Frau Schultz's class. And she's standing in the doorway, and I hear her say, "I'd like to speak to Mr. Bray," and I just sunk in that moment. Because I knew I was getting a chewing. And so I went out on the porch of that portable building, and the warden closed the door so the other kids couldn't hear. And I'm standing out there, and I'm looking at Frau Schultz, and she's about this tall. But she was 10 feet tall. And I was expecting her to just unload on me for my stupidity. But all I got in that moment from that sweet little lady were words of encouragement. Words of correction, but words of encouragement. Words of compassion. Words of love. Frau Schultz had 150 other students that weren't in suspension because of their stupidity. But that Tuesday morning, she decided to put everything on hold, walk out to the edge of our campus, knock on that door, and speak some loving truth and some kind compassion into a dumb kid that had gone astray. That moment in my life was huge. Our What Now post-Easter is to take the story and the love of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus into the world. There are so many people right now that are living without the joy and the hope and the confidence that you and I have right here and now. There's so many people going through life in total despair and hopelessness, thinking this broken life is all there is. So our joy and our hope is to take this gospel into the world and just tell one more person about it, so that maybe that joy might become their joy. Christ Jesus might become their Lord. And we do it fully trusting that the Holy Spirit will provide the moment, the courage, the confidence, and most importantly, the words that we are to speak. Christ is risen. Amen. And thanks be to God that we get the joy and the privilege of taking that very message to the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son is risen, and we rejoice with real joy and real excitement this day. But Lord, we know that there are a lot of people in this world that don't know you. There are a lot of people going about this life trying to figure out how to navigate the darkness and the sin without you. They have no hope about the life to come. Lord God, we pray that you would use each one of us to go into the world in whatever vocations we have. Give us opportunities by your Holy Spirit to speak the name of Jesus, to share the joy of the gospel, and allow you to change lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.